WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We have reached the bye week, and what a bye week it shall be. The Ravens at 6-3, big victory on Monday night in New Orleans at a place where we had a lot of fun about 10 years ago. This guy will be having fun this weekend, Veterans Day weekend. He's always got cars, more cars than he usually has at a Coons Baltimore Ford. He is out of Security Boulevard. He will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, and again on Sunday, as the Ravens will not play for another 13 days. Welcome, Dennis Colazzo's back onto the program. What's going on? How are you? Nice win, and boy, this season has taken on a little life now all of a sudden, hasn't it?
It really has, Nestor. Had you told me that we'd be 6-3 at the bye with after suffering significant losses, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Mark Andrews, Marcus Williams, the list just goes on and on. Monty Stanley not being on the field for the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season, I'd be pretty happy with the 6-3, regardless of how they got there, regardless of blown fourth quarter leads. It doesn't matter. Like Al Davis used to say, just win, baby. And now John Harbaugh, he's in a good mood, giving the players off the entire week, which I think is great. It shows me that coach is growing up a little bit, starting to have some empathy for his veterans, giving them some reward, attaboys. Gotta love the vibe at 6-3 right now, Nestor.
Well, the vibe would be Roquan Smith. We didn't see that coming, right?
Unbelievable.
And for the veteran guy, like you and I have joked about DeSean Jackson, and by the way, you won the bet. Congratulations.
Hey, I told you I would take your 55-year-old hammies and my 58-year-old hammies before I took his hamstrings. I mean, no knock on the guy, nothing personal, but he has a history of pulling hamstrings, right? And lo and behold, he just wasn't available in the second half, was he?
No, and he's 35, and we shouldn't expect that. And I don't know what we should expect from Justin Houston or Jason Pierre-Paul or, you know, and any of the – even Josh Bynes. You know, he's been here from the beginning. He's not an imported guy. But the expectation level of 30-somethings when they're upright in November and December, you know, there's something happening here that's good defensively, certainly on the back end of New Orleans. Meanwhile, the offensive side, I just they should be running the ball. I wrote about that weeks ago. They are running the ball. The question's always going to be, well, when they have to pass the ball, what will happen? Well, if you're in second and two all day, you don't have to pass the ball, right? And they this notion that they have to have a number one wide receiver, they need to get Mark Andrews back and run the offense they've been running because they can win like this.
But I do think that having a wide receiver one would really help this offense. Odell Beckham Jr. is out there still. He's going to have some suitors. He's cleared to play now. And whether it's the Cowboys or whoever else is going to compete for his services along with the Ravens, the long pass that Lamar threw, and I believe it was DeSean Jackson, hit him in the hands and the defensive player made the play. But when you have a guy that can go up there and win those 50-50 balls, those balls become 60-40 or 70-30 or 75-25, it certainly does give this team a chance to further advance in the playoffs.
Well, in the case of the wide receiver position, Bateman's not coming back, right? So now, are we on the Odell Beckham thing? I mean, he doesn't want to play here, and they're not going to bring him in here,
well,
I don't think.
You know what? If they pay him enough money, I think he'd go play for anyone right now. He'd go play for the Commanders or whoever you want to throw in there. But I think it comes down to money and fit. And if you're going to be a wide receiver one, Baltimore is the place to go. If he comes in and does what he's supposed to do, we may even erect a statue for him. So I do think it's a big deal if you become the guy, because they'll need one guy to be the guy in this offense at wide receiver.
We sit here and evaluate the team in April, May, June, July. How's the season start in August? And with the trades in the league, with the amount of 30-something-year-old veterans who just – I looked up the other night. I was wondering where Brandon Williams was. I saw Big 98 making tackles in the middle. And I Googled him. I thought, did he get a gig? He's not even working. And I'm not saying that he's an answer, but those kinds of 30-year-old players, the JPPs, the Justin Houstons, you know, those players that are out there, they do make a difference. It's how Belichick's won championships. I remember talking to Chad Brown about this. I mean, Chad Brown was that guy that Belichick brought in, you know, the 30-something linebacker that comes in week 12. And Domata Pekka has been that guy the last couple of years. That's substantial when it matters, right? And in the case of Justin Houston showing up this year and playing the way he has, that he's a difference maker right now for them.
Oh, for sure. And the fact that he's on a pitch count now, he's coming off the bench, he's fresh. You got Odafe Owe in there. Now you got Tyus Bowser. This linebacker position for the Ravens was the weakest level of the defense. And all of a sudden, it's become a strength. And that's even without David Ojabo. And Mike McDonald's going to be licking his chops back there. And I don't hear Rex Ryan anymore saying that the young man is over his head. He's a college coach, doesn't know what he's doing. It's amazing how better players, when they're healthy, make any coach look better, doesn't it?
Well, and then that would, really bring us to Roquan Smith and saying Eric DaCosta went out, brought him in. That's an X factor that you're not expecting on the team 3 weeks ago. You and I were not sitting around saying, well, they're not just going to get a linebacker. They're going to give up a two. They're going to give up a five. Maybe they sign him. Maybe they don't. I mean, that's a March conversation, not a November conversation for me. But what's a November conversation for me is the fact that he played on Monday night, played well, and is going to be a factor in this defense. They have imported a lottery pick into this thing in the middle of the year. It changes their fortunes for me.
You know, I'm ready to go out there and buy a number 18 jersey already. I think he's the real deal. I love his energy. I love his attitude. And there's an old adage, of course, that goes something like this: a high tide raises all ships. And bringing him in, you can already see the impact he's had on his defense. He's making Patrick Queen better already. And Patrick Queen was already an ascending player. He pieced together the three best games of his career before Roquan Smith got to Baltimore. So I think the impact he has on him, having confidence he can stop guys like Alvin Kamara on second and short and third and short, that bleeds into our division where Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and Najee Harris reside, right? So to have that confidence that on third and short, fourth and short, you have a linebacker that can come in there and stop the team and turn the ball over, he is good for one score per game, I think. That's the kind of caliber of player he is.
Well, we weren't sure we had a pass rush, right? Back in August, we were like, all right, Bowser's out. Is Houston going to sign? Will he be here? Will he even be a factor? And look, they went through these other players, right? I mean, they had the local kid 2 years ago, and he didn't work out, and he's out in Las Vegas making his money now, right? So they had Elvis Dumervil for a minute or two. They've imported this, but all of a sudden, it feels like a factor against the Saints offense on Monday night. It felt like they were going to give Dalton trouble. It feels like 2 weeks from now, whoever Carolina's got pitching, it'll be trouble for them. That there is a pass rush now, and we were not speaking about that when Joe Flacco was quarterbacking in week one for the Jets.
No, you got to love what you're doing. And even when Marcus Williams comes back to make that secondary even stickier, that will also further enhance that pass rush. And we haven't even seen David Ojabo on there. We haven't seen Tyus Bowser out there for a long time in long spurts as he gets healthier. So this pass rush could be something special. They can rotate guys like Justin Houston and JPP, keep them fresh, and let the young Lions eat at times as well.
Well, JPP went out of the game, a little early, and maybe a little earlier than DeSean Jackson, but not too far off from that. Offensively, with this, you'll hear people say, "Well, Lamar completed 12 passes. Why are we giving him $250 million?" I'll just say this: the way they run the ball, it's unlike anyone else has ever run it. Ronnie Stanley coming back now and being Ronnie Stanley, and you and I were betting against that a
We
month ago,
were,
right? You were
and I'm
betting
glad,
against that.
and I'm glad we were wrong. I like in situations like these, I'd rather be wrong.
Well,
Absolutely.
for now, we're wrong. He's not only out there playing and playing with fire, he's out there providing a little bit of fire for Lamar. And I don't know what that exchange was. I know both of those guys enough to know, that was a work.
Look,
That was a difference in work, right?
I'm glad they had it. I'm glad they had it, right? Because of what you just said. It's just like fighting with your best friend. It's in the whole big scheme of things, it's nothing. And they both are passionate. They both want to get it right. And how about to get it right? Whether it was Joe Flacco or Lamar Jackson, in this Greg Roman offense, for the offense to come to the line of scrimmage with 4 or 5 seconds on the clock, it seemed like they're always racing the clock, Nestor. At this point in the offense with this coordinator, they should be a lot more efficient with clock management.
Well, and getting the play in, right? I mean, you got to get the
Yes.
play in.
Yes. I mean, so whether it's Greg, Lamar, both, or whoever, it'd be nice for him to come to the line of scrimmage with 10 or 12 seconds, take a look at the defense, settle his offense, put guys in motion, audible, et cetera, to give him a better chance to executing the play.
I agree with you. There needs to be more urgency between plays. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to go to the coordinator, because we saw the same thing with Joe Flacco. So it's not a – I don't think if this falls on the quarterback, I think this does fall on the coordinator. And look, that's not taking away that Greg Roman called a very good game. But it does cause for concern when you have to burn precious timeouts because you can't get the play in on time.
Much harder to be optimistic about the offense when Andrews isn't out there, when Edwards isn't out there, when obviously Bateman's not going to be out there, right? Their identity in running the football and the way they run the football, to me, it just requires Edwards back. If Edwards gets back, they'll be better. I know they need Andrews. He's a binky in big games. But given this schedule, the next couple of weeks coming up, I would not rush Andrews back. I wouldn't rush Edwards back. I wouldn't rush any of these guys back at this point, because for me, they're in an incredibly envious position with their schedule, with how the division is broken down with Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati's fine, but I mean, and they're going to play Cincinnati again. I don't want to say Cincinnati's not a threat because they can still win the division. But where the team is right now to get these guys healthy and to figure out how they can pass the ball enough. It's not because Lamar is incapable. I think they don't have skill position players right now that are going to allow them to pass the ball with success, with the kind of success they want to have.
Well, to me, to your point, you got the Panthers coming in at M&T Bank Stadium. Then you got to go on the road against the Jaguars, and you got the Broncos coming in against the Ravens. These are three teams you can actually try some things after you get a 3-touchdown lead on them with your passing offense, just to try to get the timing down, trying to get it dialed in a little bit better. So
if you think they're going to be 3-touchdown leads, you need to get into gambling, and you need to take the Ravens the next 3 weeks, and you need to roll in parlay it, and I can go off to Cafalonia. And I can buy the house next door to you. How about that?
I get that it's a week-to-week league, but Panthers at the Ravens, again, there's no way this team isn't 7-3 after that game. Jags have given the Ravens a difficult time in spurts, but it's hard to see them losing to the Jags. And then you got the Broncos, who are just a hot mess coming into M&T Bank Stadium. And then you get into your division. Of course, the Browns, the Steelers and Bengals are going to play the Ravens tougher. They know this team. They know the tendencies. They can control Lamar a little bit better than teams that have seen him for the first time, like the Saints, or like, holy cow, I've never seen any human being so fast under center or behind center in the history of the NFL. But they do have a chance to do some things on offense, get a little bit more consistency. It also seems necessary they can run the ball whenever they want to. When they make up their mind and run the ball, it's very hard to stop them.
Well, run it once, run it twice, run it three, just keep running it, right? And the passing part of this, to me, needs Andrews. I don't think this is going to go well passing the ball. Forget running the ball and what down and distance is, but just trying to pass the ball consistently. They need Mark Andrews back on the field for that.
Well, he'll certainly help Nestor, but I do like the fact that 10 different players had receptions from Lamar Jackson. He is going through his progressions. He is spreading the ball around. And some people were knocking him for missing 3 or 4 open guys. I get that. But I think what the most important stat is, he didn't throw any interceptions. In the NFL, and Trent Dilfer said this a long, long time ago, teams that don't turn the ball over win. He said teams that have all these Star Wars stats for the quarterbacks that are turnover machines, they lose. So if you take care of the ball, play good defense, good special teams, you have a shot to win every game that you're in.
Well, the more you throw it, the more trouble it can be. I mean, running the ball when you do it, there's no reason to do anything else.
Woody Hayes used to say, when you throw the ball, you know, out of three things, two are going to be bad that can happen, right? Interception or the ball is dropped versus the completion. But this is their strength, and Lamar Jackson is a generational player. They're playing to his strength, but you got to feel good at the bye mark where this team is, and they're going to have a couple of weeks to get healthier, and we'll see what it looks like after the break.
Well, for other teams not being able to prepare for Lamar, the way they try to tackle him, right? Like tackling his head and he ducks down. I just don't understand why folks don't go after his legs, not in an injury way, but that's how you're going to get him to the ground. You're not going to get him to the ground trying to grab him up high. Right. I mean, and we saw lots of that going on. I thought the Saints were a little flawed in that way because they had him pinned in a couple times. They did. They had him pinned in, would have been big losses, would have probably been a possession for them. And he Houdini'd them 5 different times on Monday night.
Well, the difference between him and every other quarterback in the history on the NFL, and that may change at some point with some other quarterbacks, is that when he tucks the ball in, he's not a quarterback looking to slide. He's 225, 230 pounds. He can run you over. Arm tackles, shoulder tackles are not going to bring him down. That's the most unusual thing about Lamar Jackson is his size and strength coupled with the speed. You're not going to bring him down with an arm. He runs through those guys like a hot butter, like a hot knife through butter, and that's the difference between him. And that's why he's such a wonderful player.
Dennis Colazzos will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5 hosting the Dennis Colazzos Show. And Sunday Sports 4 is back on Sunday morning. I will be relaxing on Sunday, watching games on television. By the way, I got a little inside skinny for you. You ready for this? Because I know this guy was one of your personal favorites. There is a game this week between the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Seattle Seahawks. It is the first ever game in Deutschland, in Germany, right?
Ah, nice.
So, you know, my wife's donor, the man who saved her life, lives in Germany. His brother, very, very big Tom Brady fan. Like, such a big Tom Brady fan that when I went and visited him 6 years ago, because he saved her life in 14 and 15, we met him in 16. So 6 weeks ago, September, that we met Niels, we went over and he was living with his mother, and his brother lived with his mother at the time. He's now married. And I went to their home, and his brother's perfect English took me into his bedroom, opened his closet, and showed me his jerseys in the closet. He had Kobe Bryant jersey, too, by the way. But had a Tom Brady,
nice
white and silver, New England Patriots jersey, called him the GOAT. He is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
And so now the GOAT is playing over in Munich this week. Mm. And so Tampa's playing Seattle. I wound up eating in Germany with Max, who's Niels' brother, and their mother. And Max said to me, "We cannot get tickets. It's impossible. The demand on the tickets is 1 million people want these tickets, and there are only 50,000 tickets in Munich." And I said, "Well, let me see what I can do, you know, work on this, whatever." So I popped a note to Ryan Jensen. So Ryan Jensen, the great Ryan Jensen, has come through. So my man Niels and Max will be in Munich. München, as they call it.
Oh, very nice.
And they will be in Munich on Sunday morning. So I'll be up early watching Doug Goat and Seattle and the Tampa Bay Bucks. So I am sending Niels to the first ever NFL game. I'm not. Ryan Jensen actually is, because he's a nicer guy. So we got that going on. So this Sunday, I'm just going to chill it. I'm going to relax. I almost went to Munich for the game, but I defer. And there'll be a whole day of football to sit around and watch. This is getting to be fun, these Sundays where we just get to watch all the other teams play.
Well, that's very nice of you, Nestor. And it's always not what you know, it's who you know. And in this case, glad for Niels and his brother that you have a connection with Ryan Jensen. Ryan, of course, really good guy. I'm friends with his dad on Twitter. Nice, nice man. Nice, nice family.
Colorado people out there in Pueblo, Colorado, right?
They're wonderful, wonderful people. We missed Ryan, but hey, now we have Tyler Linderbaum. It's the Linderbaum era, and the returns, the early returns on him are also very good.
Well, if he gets me tickets for Tom Brady, if Tom Brady's still playing in Germany 100 years from now, Dennis
he
can
might,
be found.
He might be.
Dennis can be found out of Coons Baltimore Ford in front of all of his presidents. You're showing off now. I mean, something's happened.
Well, I told you, somebody made a comment, and I didn't take it too kindly. So, look, it's the pelts on the wall, as Bill Parcells used to say. It's stuff that we earn. Nobody gives them to us every day.
I don't know. I don't have anything on my wall behind me other than I couldn't even get.
You don't have a wall big enough. You don't have a wall big enough for your pelts, Nestor. You've accomplished a lot of great things in life.
You know, I'm trying to figure out with all these awards that used to be around and stuff. I found them all on the radio station. You're inspiring me now to put them somewhere, but I don't think I'll put them behind me.
Put them up.
Well, hey, when you see Coach Billick on the NFL Network, that Super Bowl trophy behind him, that was my gift to him. So
hey, that's big. That's big.
$279 from China. Just order
nice,
it online.
Nice.
Dennis will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, back again on Sunday. And you, of course, can always find him if you're in the market for a new or pre-loved vehicle. Lots of vehicles on the lot, right? I mean, you complained
more.
For a long 2.5 years. We didn't have any cars. Now you actually have cars.
We got a buck and a half, a cow and a calf, and more on the way. We have a lot of vehicles coming in and a lot on the ground just in time for this weekend that we're coming up, this Veterans Day weekend.
They get a red one, a blue one, a green one, a yellow one. They got everything.
And again, shout out to all the veterans out there. Really, really, really thank you for your service.
Absolutely, man. Big week around here. Football, Munich, the GOAT, bye week. And the Orioles are going to spend a lot of money on Jacob deGrom. I just know they are. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Bringing the Crab Cake Tour back out to Pappas on the 18th. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill and Window Nation. Not a bye week around here. We got an election. We got things going on. We got Crab Cake Tour. And I got to spend Friday with my bucket list guest, Gina Schock, the great drummer of the Go-Go's from Dundalk, sat in with John Allen and I. Not often I get to click bucket list interview, Dennis, but I did last week. So I was very, very happy with that. I hope you all are happy out at BaltimorePositive.com checking it out as well.